Hello, and welcome to the Rested With an Eye podcast, where we explore travel time rather than destinations and the joys and surprises of shared transport. For many, traveling on buses, boats, and trains is now a lifestyle choice. My name's Mark Selby. I love the theatre of travel, discovering the stories of journeys, and learning how people use their travel time. Serendipity. The word serendipity is associated with unexpected or lucky encounters or coincidence. We've all had some of those while travelling, but the word is even more relevant to our journeys. The word first appeared in 1754 in a letter from Horace Walpole to a friend. He derived the word from a book called The Three Princes of Serendip. Princes who are always making discoveries, by accidents and sagacity, of things they weren't seeking. In the book, the princes walk down a path one day and notice the grass is short on one side of the path and long on the other. Most people wouldn't have noticed. Those that did might think it strange, but continue walking. The princes, however, consider the scene and realise they've been preceded down the path by a camel that was blind in one eye, unable to see the grass on one side to eat. The princes continue their journeys, observing with sagacity, applying their knowledge and experience, and it's fascinating what we see when we do the same. Applied to our travels, discoveries and their consequences can be surprising. With time, we detect patterns of behaviour that have remained hidden in front of us for years. Once noticed, they reveal more patterns and insights. The anthropologist Desmond Morris once told me that you could tell where a seated American man was from in America by how he crossed his legs. In summary, East Coast men resembled the European posture with the raised leg held close to the grounded leg. But as you moved west, the raised leg gradually moved until the raised foot rested on the grounded knee. The English generally choose not to interact with fellow travellers on public transport. Other than asking if a seat is free or thanking a bus driver when alighting, we invariably travel in silence. Someone talking loudly on their phone might be looked at in a disapproving manner with raised eyebrows, but without a word being spoken. By contrast, as Andy in Beijing said, in South Korea, the loud phone user would risk being removed from the train by a guard. Imagine a fellow traveller who is particularly annoying and seated across a carriage facing you. Here's an effective trick to address the problem. Just look at the shoes of the offender. Once aware of the attention, offenders become uncomfortable. Seated, they're unable to see their own lower legs easily and start to feel discomfort. Odd socks, odd shoes, or something else. I've seen such people stop talking on phones, reduce the volume of whatever they're listening to, and even getting up and moving elsewhere on a train. It's funny how the same trick works when an aggressive or annoying driver draws up beside you at traffic lights. Just look down, with interest, at their front tyre. Their uncertainty often causes more acceptable driving behaviour. Sometimes they pull over to check for a puncture. If nothing else, their behaviour changes, however briefly. Personally, I'm losing interest in driving my car. Rather, I'm falling for the unexpected pleasures of shared transport. The productivity, relaxation, and entertainment provided in buses, trains, and stations. We might interact with others, enjoy the surrounding theatre of travel, or just focus on what we want to do. In her book, Watching the English, Kate Fox provides some great observations of the English travelling. Despite seeing the same people at a station or bus stop each weekday morning, there's unlikely to be any interaction between these travellers. One commuter told Fox, "After a while, if you see the same person every morning on the platform, and maybe quite often sit opposite them on the train, you might start to just nod to each other when you arrive. But that's about as far as it goes." "How long is a while?" Fox asked. "Oh, maybe a year or so. It depends. Some people are more outgoing than others, you know." Almost all of the commuters interviewed said that even a brief nod constituted a fairly drastic escalation of intimacy. And most were highly cautious about progressing to this stage, because as one commuter, a man in his early 30s, commuting daily from Skipton into Leeds, explained, "Once you start greeting people like that, nodding, I mean, unless you're very careful, you might end up starting to say, 'Good morning,' or something, and then you could end up actually having to talk to them." Having lived in Switzerland, I chuckled when I read that. In the French-speaking part of Switzerland, it's normal to exchange greetings with strangers of "Bonjour, madame," or "Monsieur," when passing in the street or on a hiking trail. There's no expectation of further discussion, but you're left with a warm, positive feeling. The mother of my daughter's friend was walking down the street one day when she saw someone she knew, and the two of them greeted each other. It was rather embarrassing because neither could remember the other's name, nor could they recollect how they knew each other. It transpired that they'd been commuting on the same train each morning for 7 years, but had never actually spoken until they met on the street. Fox notes that if you simply start chatting to English people on trains or buses, they tend to assume that you are either drunk, drugged, or deranged. These create significant barriers to interactions and what we can glean from our fellow travellers. But there are moments when a conversation might be triggered. There's the acceptable travel question, such as, "Do you know if this train goes to insert destination?" Or, "Is this seat free?" And then, of course, there's the collective trigger, the announcement. There we are, strangers sharing a common travel experience in a carriage, happily avoiding eye contact or communication. Then an announcement is made, notifying us of a delay or accident. Cows on the line are surprisingly common in the UK. Nods and raised eyebrows are exchanged, and a few hesitant conversations might start. Most peter out after a sentence or two, but some continue. Perhaps details of destinations or connections now at risk. You're aware that others, supposedly reading books or screens, are listening with interest and might occasionally join the chat. Leisure travellers are far more willing, even eager, to share the purpose of their journey with strangers. Researchers in many countries, including England, have looked at the willingness of people to speak with strangers and the outcomes of the conversations for both parties. The results are consistently positive. Commuters who talk to strangers report they feel happier, healthier, and less lonely afterwards. Buses and trains certainly provide opportunities to interact if you want to. The chance encounters and chats might entertain, or they could lead to much more. In future Rested with an Eye podcasts, we'll look at how people engage and some of the surprising outcomes. Interactions between strangers are more common on long train or coach trips. In the US, Amtrak rail staff encourage what they call community dining amongst passengers in their dining cars. Those travelling alone are seated at tables with other diners and stories are shared. The observation car is another popular social gathering spot on Amtrak. One traveller and his partner said, "In just under 2 days on the train, we met dozens of fellow passengers, more than I've ever gotten to know in my many days of flying." Trains provide far more opportunities to meet other people. You might be facing them or engaging them while moving around the carriage. On a plane, we're normally limited to conversation with immediate neighbours. Whatever the seating arrangements, the human stories at Travel's Theatre are there to be heard and observed with sagacity. They can lead to new careers, rewards and romance, as we'll see in future episodes. Until next time, enjoy your travels. Thank you for listening to the Rested With an Eye podcast. Please subscribe on your preferred podcast service and share with a friend. I look forward to hearing from you and sharing your travel stories. Please email restedpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone that has contributed to Rested With an Eye so far. Enjoy your travel time.